Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as religious by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
This, again, we have been covering the letter of Paul to the Galatians. And it's a very historic letter. It really is one of the earliest windows that we have of that church, of the church just getting started. And when I say that church, I mean the church. This is where they were really trying to bang things out and try to figure things out. On one hand, you have Paul, who is trying to just invite everybody, people that have never been into a church or anything like it before. And on the other side, you have people that are a little bit concerned about it. It's funny, we have kind of almost like two seeds being planted here. We have the seed from the very beginning. We have the seed of a welcoming spirit and inclusion. And then on the other side, we have the seed planted of wanting to put restrictions and make things conditional. Unfortunately, those seeds have both germinated and grown throughout 2,000 years, and we're still struggling with that today. The one misconception about this is that oftentimes this passage, specifically the one that we're reading today, oftentimes people think that what Paul is talking about is end-of-life salvation. That there's no longer, you know, Greek or Jew or anything like that, and it's not the law, it's your faith, and what your faith does is it just gets you to heaven, and that's all you got to worry about. Now, what Paul would, he would agree with that, that it is our faith that connects us, but he's really not talking about a heaven in a faraway place and where we go when we die in this particular letter. His agenda here is really about, okay, that's fine, but what are we going to do today? What are we going to do here and now? And that's what's been really misunderstood for many years. Even Martin Luther assumed that he was talking about end-of-life salvation and all that kind of stuff, when Paul is actually talking about the church. And it's very important that we have this conversation today, the church. For Paul and the early disciples, the ones that followed Jesus, they did not see heaven as this thing in the clouds that we just suddenly float to and go to when we die. For them, it was more of an immediate thing. For them, it was about the rebuilding of earth, like in the Lord's Prayer, as on earth as in heaven. It was about Jesus returning and earth being transformed and where we are now being transformed. They also believe that, you know, there's the argument of, you know, what happens when Jesus was on the cross and he's talking to the thief next to him and he says, tonight you'll be in paradise. Well, they believe that Jesus, the followers of Christ, were, paradise kind of means, actually the translation means a garden. That means in some cases it was referred to as kind of a waiting room, a waiting place, a beautiful waiting place. And that's where a lot of the early disciples believed, is that when they were to die, they'd be in the arms of Jesus until that time when earth is and everyone else is resurrected. You follow me there? I'm getting kind of theological and all that kind of stuff. But the point is that for Paul, the meat of this letter, it was not about some distant thing. It was about the here and now. And his challenge to the people that were starting the early church is, what are you going to do today? What are you? Salvation is it's read. It's taken care of. What are you going to do today? As this church gets started, how are we going to identify ourselves? And what are we going to look like? And for Paul, that meant inviting other people. That meant bridging out. But now, if you're a person, an Israelite, for thousands of years, you've been told specifically not to do that. You've lived by the law. We covered this a few days ago. There was 613 of them, laws that included the, we have the Ten Commandments and a heck of a lot more. And to them, that was the law that they lived by. And Paul is saying that because of Christ, things have changed. Things have definitely changed. He uses this this passage here, therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith, justified by faith. Now, the word disciplinarian there, depending on what translation of the Bible that you are reading, it has been translated in different ways. Sometimes it's translated as teacher. Not exactly accurate. In other cases, it's been translated as babysitter. Now, that might be a little bit more accurate. The Greek term is pedagogos. Pedagogos means, in Paul's time, what that meant was a slave that was in charge of the children from the home to the school. They were in charge of protecting those children. They were in charge of making sure the children didn't get involved in mischief. They were the guardian temporarily. So I guess you could say, in a sense, they were the babysitter. They weren't the parent. They weren't the teacher. They were there to help them get to their point. And what Paul is saying is to the Israelites is, hey, we've been doing this under a babysitter since the time that God first revealed himself to Abraham, because we were infantile at the time. We were in a world that worshipped idols. We were in a world that had all sorts of immorality and killings and all of this kind of stuff. And we needed to carry that message forward. We needed to hold true to that message. And so what we needed from point A to point B was a babysitter. And that babysitter was the law. That babysitter was the thing that kept us in line. It kept us separated from everybody, but it also kept us focused on that one true God. And what Paul is saying is, hey, since Jesus has now revealed himself, that babysitter is no longer needed. You no longer need the babysitter. You are now grown up. And it is now time for us to not only be grown up, but also to take some responsibility. And part of that responsibility now is sharing that faith outside of our walls and going beyond that. It is now our time to share that. And so what he's saying is that the Galatians, who they were referred to as pagans, to the Jews they were just referred to as sinners, it's now time to bring them into this, because what we share now is our faith in Christ. That's the thing that keeps us together. That's the thing that bridges all of this. You are no longer slaves to the law, and neither are the Galatians expected to do that. Now, Paul says there's no Greek, there's no Jew, there's no slave, there's no free, there's no man, there's no woman. He's not negating identity here. He's not saying that there is... Paul himself in Romans refers to himself as a Jewish Christian, basically. He's not... telling you that who you are does no longer exist. He is saying that it's not a clout thing. It's not a position thing anymore. He's saying that there's no male or female, meaning that there's no need for circumcision, per se, to get in. There is no need for being slaves to the law to get in. There's one identity that we have now is over all of the others, and that is our faith. And he's saying that faith is shared now with people that are from other cultures, and they might look and act a little bit different than ours, than us, or what we're used to, but that faith is what connects us. And he means it so much that he talks about if you belong to Christ, when you are Abraham's offspring, you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. when he talks about offspring there, the direct translation of that is in Greek, sperma. And it is exactly what you think it is. That's how serious he was. He wasn't saying that we're just forming this happy community. He is truly saying you, by your faith, are now related. You are part of Abraham's seed. That family that he was called to grow from the very beginning, the Galatians are now part of that. Because of their faith in Christ, we are all family. And he says, through your faith, and Paul uses through your baptism, you are welcomed into this family. That's why when this little guy was baptized, we said, welcomed our newest member of the family. Because we're family now. Isn't that something? I expect a Christmas card. It is something when we talk about family. This is something that is so revolutionary for the folks at this time, because the Jewish leaders were being, just in this part of the letter, there were ripple effects of shock. Because first, what Paul is saying is that law that you have followed for thousands of years, you no longer need to do that. You no longer are slaves to that. You no longer need a babysitter. And now he's saying, and we are family with the people that for thousands of years you've been told to stay away from. The law included disciplinary things, worship things, but it also did include staying away from other folks, not to pollute this message that you had. And now, almost overnight, they're being told, you get to share it with everybody, including these folks that you have always tagged as sinners. They are now your siblings. They're not just welcomed in this door. They're not just here for the buffet. They are your siblings. That is huge, because especially in this time in the Jewish culture, family was huge. Your lineage, everything that you owned, it was all about family. And now, the people on the other side of the tracks, Paul is saying they are now related to you. It's like one of those DNA things that you take, you know, and you find out, oh, dang, I'm related to them? Wow. You know, it's really shocking to them that they are now there. Now, this is a time that, again, it's not a Jew thing versus a Christian thing. It's not a battle of one-sided. It's a confusion of people that truly have followed this law all their lives. And now they're being told, you get to actually mingle with these people. Peter struggled with this. He didn't want to share meals. He was worried about sharing meals with folks that were of different cultures, because it was ingrained in him. As we say today, it was his default thought. And Paul was calling for a reprogramming here. And what he was doing was not different than what Jesus was teaching. We think that this is something radical. We call it Pauline faith and all of this kind of stuff. But what Jesus was teaching from the day that he was here was welcoming people, was inviting people, was sharing meals with people. He was setting the standard of we are family. We are family. That's a hard thing to accept sometimes. Because in today's world, the church doesn't show that they're family. I worry that if Paul were here today, he'd be wondering what happened. He had this vision of letting people in, and he sees today churches divided, churches of different denominations, churches of different cultures. He sees Sunday as being one of the most segregated places in the world. We have African-American churches, we have Korean churches, we have Vietnamese churches, we have Protestant, we have Catholic, we have Lutheran. And for some reason, some of us, we don't want to even communicate or get along together. We don't want to eat together. And Paul is saying, weren't you listening? I wrote it in ink. This is something that is supposed to stick around, and we're supposed to read this. This is not something that we're just supposed to invite people every once in a while. You are part of the same seed. You are family. Now act like it. Even in our Methodist church, we have this division thing going on where people are upset about this and other people are upset about this and all of this kind of stuff, and people are separating and going their way and all this kind of stuff. Paul would be having a fit over this. Because as we see in Paul, his faith was evolving to be welcoming, and he was planting that seed, not the seed of restriction. He was planting that seed of invitation. And it would evolve even beyond Paul. Remember, this is a seed planted. We are supposed to evolve and grow on this. We are not supposed to say, okay, I'm going to stick with the restriction people. I'm going to stick with the people that are making it difficult for people to come in. I'm going to let that grow. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to say, you know, letting those people in that were called sinners and different and all this kind of stuff and animals and disgusting, I'm going to let them in. I guess you are okay here. But, you know, I think this is where we are supposed to take this and we are supposed to grow from this. As a family, we are supposed to give it generation after generation after generation. This is our lineage here. This is where it begins, but it's not where it ends. We are to continue to be welcoming people into this family. Family. Now, a lot of us, we have family, you know? We might have family members that we love and family members that we just like, oh, you know, got that uncle. It's weird, but we might have those people that we try to avoid certain conversations at Thanksgiving. Just talk about the meat. Just talk about the meat. But we're family. There's something deeper. Church is the epitome of that. Church is the thing that is supposed to be the foundation of that, even in your homes. This is it. Today, in today's world, we treat our faith as a hobby. We treat it as something that we do part-time when it's convenient. We think about it when it's something to go to or do something. In Paul's day, it was truly something you lived and breathed. It affected every part of your life. And when Paul was saying that we are a family, they knew, the people reading this knew, that did not mean just on church Sundays. That meant every time, everywhere, every place, and everyone. That's where we're at today. That's why this church is so important. We do not just come here for a social gathering. What do you think is the most important thing during a Sunday at Neighbor's Church? Cookies? There's one in every group. Everything. Everything from the time that you walk in that door is important. Everything. Because that is what being a faith community, a faith family, is all about. It means listening to the songs. It means listening to me. Apologize for that. But it also means the conversations that we have with each other. It means the times that we say, how was your week? It means, how are you doing? Are there anything that you need? Is there anything I can pray for? It means welcoming people into the family. It means making quilts for them. It means truly being there for one another and being a family. That's what it means. That's why we're here. We are the adults now. We are not the children in need of a babysitter. We are the adults now. Did you ever have the family gatherings where you had the children's table? I always had to sit at the children's table. That's why I have no growth spurt, because I sat there all the time. When you're a child is sitting at that table, the only thing that you have to worry about, well, you don't really have to worry about anything. You just get to sit there and eat. But when you're the adult, you are the one setting that table. You are the one planning the meal. You are the one that is inviting the guests. As adults now in our faith, that's what we're called to do. When Paul was saying that we no longer need a babysitter, he was not saying that we no longer have any responsibility whatsoever. He was calling us on the carpet saying, here and now, it's not about salvation, going to heaven and all that kind of stuff and acting like a jerk in between then. It's about the church here today. You're at the adult table. What are you going to do? Who are you going to invite? And how welcome are you going to make them feel once they're here? You know, being a pastor, I've had many conversations, sadly, many conversations with people that have had issues with their immediate families. We all know that sometimes family life is not a Norman Rockwell painting. We know that there's friction sometimes. Sometimes there's trouble. And sometimes it's a situation that you have to walk away from. Sometimes there are people that just don't feel healthy in their family. They don't feel safe in their family. It's at those times especially, isn't it good to know that this is a family that they can go to? There are people, honestly, in this church right now that this is their family. This is why they come. Because this is the place that they are loved and feel loved. That's important. That's not something that we take as a hobby or something trivial. That is something that we take here and now. Because we share that seed. We share that commonality. We share that faith. That faith that calls us to love God, to love ourselves, to love our neighbor. I am so grateful and blessed by this family. May we continue to invite and to make other people feel the same way, to let them know that there is a family, that they are part of something much bigger than anything they could imagine. They are part of love, love of Christ. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, help us to know that we're not alone in our faith. Help us to know that our faith is something that keeps us connected, that keeps us together. Help us to celebrate that. Help us to know that we are loved as we are. And help us to know that they are too. Let's keep that door open. Let's keep your family together. Let's keep inviting people to the table. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.